Again, this is an important time to make sure the phone is turned off, door is shut, and you're just coming into presence. We're all familiar with that intentional act of settling into your meditation seat, getting comfortable, having your cushions where you need them to be, letting your arms and legs come into whatever position is comfortable for you. Straightening making sure the posture, the back is relatively straight and upright. And then just gently closing the eyes. This is a familiar movement for I think all of us here. This intentional act of coming into presence, into mindful presence. So just allowing yourself to do what it is that supports that mindful presence. I like to start by just feeling my whole body sitting. Whether you do a body scan of moving the attention through the body and inviting relaxation in the face, the lips, the throat, the shoulders, moving through the whole body. Making these subtle movements to loosen up and open places that you know it's helpful to do that. Just coming into the sense of the whole body sitting. Inviting stillness, but relaxation. There's been a lot of words already this morning. Perhaps there was busyness in getting ready. There's always a little anxiety in the technology and getting onto the Zoom call. But now we're just here. Just sitting. There's nothing more for you to do. So relax and soften. Perhaps you notice the breathing, not focusing on the breath in any particular narrow place, but just the breath in the whole body. The movement of the breath, expanding and contracting, all the different ways it moves in the body. So a very soft, spacious connection to the breath. Not trying to make the breath any particular way. Just allowing the breath to be natural. And even though in the practice of the Brahmaviharas, the practice of compassion, it is an intentional practice where we often use words to convey this intention, this motivation towards caring. Keep the practice based in the body. Keep coming back to this felt sense of the body sitting and the breath moving in and out, perhaps even resting your attention in the heart center, the center of the chest, or the whole torso. This is so helpful so we don't get lost in the words or lost in the story. An embodied presence. And then beginning this practice of compassion, and again, trust your own judgment and care in this by thinking of a situation in your life, so it's personal to you, that's difficult, that's stressful. Doesn't have to, if there's something really difficult going on, don't have to choose that, but you can if you feel ready to. It doesn't take much for the mind and heart to become agitated, for the concern to arise. So just choose something. Could be something in your inner experience, some physical challenge, illness, injury, chronic or acute, some relationship issue. Could even be how you're holding the state of the world, both around the virus or politics. But just get a snapshot of that. You don't tell the whole story. It's just this. This is really difficult for me right now. And then see what the response is. As you bring situation, the experience, this relationship to mind, is there some reaction, some distress? Mind tells its story. The body contracts. The eyes can tend to tighten. We can feel perhaps a heaviness in the heart, or an agitation, or an anger or fear. Let yourself feel that for a moment without so much a story, perhaps more in images or felt sense, perhaps giving that situation a simple name. But be willing to feel it a little bit. See if you can stay steady with the sense of the body and the breath as you open to this difficulty. There may be sadness that comes, or resentment, or worry, or regret. Let yourself feel it just very directly. And then acknowledge that by saying something simple like, "This is suffering," or "I'm suffering right now with this." And this is a moment of suffering. Some way of just saying, "This hurts. This is really hard." Whatever words help you really see that this is difficult. Ouch, this hurts. This is hard for me. Some praise, some recognition of this situation and how challenging it is. And we breathe with this difficulty. We can't fix it right now. We can't change anything. We just breathe with it and hold it. This is really hard. Whatever emotions might be present, and opening to them and holding them. Naming them if that's helpful. Breathing. And then in this practice, we bring the wisdom in. Talked about the two wings of the bird, wisdom and compassion. The wisdom says, suffering is part of life. This is what it is to be human. So again, whatever helps you connect with this universal truth, I'm not alone in this suffering right now. Other people, someone somewhere is feeling this kind of suffering, this pain or ache or regret. I'm not alone in this suffering. Every person struggles. Has difficulty, has stress. Suffering is part of life, the first noble truth. There's a little coolness as we acknowledge this. This is the wisdom or the equanimity. We're not pulling away from the suffering. We're just giving it a bigger frame, recognizing this is what it is to be human, to have difficulty like this, to feel, to be sensitive. So let yourself feel, if you can, if it's there, a little bit that wider lens, the space or the equanimity, the wisdom that says, this is what it's like right now. I'm not alone. And then in this compassion practice to ourselves, we respond, not by trying to fix the situation, but responding to ourselves with compassion. So whatever works for you in this response, for some people it's putting their hand or both hands on their heart. The warmth of human touch is so powerful, even though we know it's our own hand. So a hand or both hands on your heart, even a hand on your cheek. If something's really hard, like, it's okay, I'm here for you. You can hold your hands together in your lap, or even give yourself a hug. Again, if this makes sense to you, sometimes it's amazing, just the pressure and the warmth of a human hand is powerful. So you make some gesture, some physical gesture, and see what works. It can be very simple. Just let your hands rest in your lap, and the hand on the heart. And then offer yourself some caring. Again, the essence of what we're doing here is, may I be kind to myself? What do I need right now to express kindness to myself? And so here's where we can use the phrases of compassion. We've offered some before, see what works for you. May I give myself the compassion that I need? May I forgive myself? May I be strong, or may I find peace or ease or healing with this difficulty. And it's just some simple way, with the gesture of kindness and some phrase or expression of kindness. May I hold this with compassion. May my heart open to this suffering, this difficulty, this pain, with kindness. Find a phrase or two that speak to you in holding this difficulty, and gently repeat that. It's not repeating rote, just word after word, phrase after phrase. Take your time. You may not need to say much at all. Focus on the feeling, not the phrases. Just drop the phrase in if it's helpful. But stay with that hand on the heart and breathing. And just holding the difficulty with this feeling of compassion. When you feel yourself get pulled into the story, forward, sort of an energetic forward into fixing what the problem is, see if you can just relax back, hold the suffering with kindness. You feel yourself pulling away, not wanting to be with it, rejecting or resisting. Again, seeing if you can come forward to meet the difficulty in a relaxed, open way. So use the phrases if they're helpful, or just rest with this feeling of care and compassion for yourself. using the phrases if they're helpful. Otherwise, just resting in this feeling of tenderness towards yourself and this difficulty. Getting to know this feeling of compassion in this intimate way, just in your own experience towards yourself. Soft sense of tenderness, of empathy, allowing the breath and the body to be relaxed and open. Spacious, holding yourself with kindness. So that was a fairly brief introduction to this practice of self-compassion. But this attitude of compassion is, that's going to be the theme of our day, even as we move out to care for other people and expand to all beings everywhere. Keeping on coming back to this sense of compassion for yourselves, that's what develops the resiliency. The capacity to open without being overwhelmed, because if we start to feel overwhelmed, that's a moment of suffering. And the ability to meet that with equanimity and kindness enables us to keep showing up for ourselves and being present for others. So it's, I find it so helpful. And whether you do it as a formal practice like we did then, or just you can do it in a few moments. This recognition that this is suffering, that you're not alone. And what do you need to be kind to yourself right now? So we'll come back to that. But I want to take some time now if there are any questions or comments about how that practice was for you, if it's familiar to you. And I know I sometimes teach it to people. They say, well, I've been trained in mindful self-compassion. And I, you know, it's like, the, it's really been very popular and people are finding it so helpful. So it may not be new to you. You may be very familiar with it. So any comments about if you're familiar with the practice, how you use it, if you're not familiar with it, how it was for you, or any questions about anything that I've said so far. And again, if you click on participants, you'll find your name there, and you can, it might under be under more. I'm not sure where it is, perhaps if people can't find it. So I see Mary has raised her hand. So, Mary, if you unmute,
Did.
and you should, if everyone puts people on speaker view, if you weren't already, then Mary will pop up when she speaks. Good morning.
Thanks, Sally. One of the tricky pieces, Anolio in his book on compassion
Sorry,
talks.
Mary, can I stop you for a moment? Sorry to interrupt. Maybe because I'm on spotlight view, I didn't go to you when you were speaking, and I don't know if it was that case with other people, but we might need to remove the spotlight so that you can pop up. Bill, does that make sense? So anyway, start again. Sorry, I can see you, but you're just in a little box.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I have turned off the spotlight, but you're still spotlighted, so I'm not sure what to do about
Well, I see you now, so let Mary, why don't you start again?
I'll try again.
Yep, that's good.
Okay. So, in Anolio's book on compassion, he's very clear that when you have compassion for someone else, that does not mean that you then start suffering. Okay, which I found very helpful. And but when you're having compassion for yourself, it's a little trickier. I mean,
But he
because
makes an important point, which I was going to talk about, at some point.
yeah.
Compassion is not a suffering state.
Right.
It's not, it's a Brahmavihara.
It's
True
a
compassion as, sorry.
Yeah, it's a loving state. It's a caring state, but it's
It's a
not.
caring state.
It's like I'm not going down into agony and suffering as well. But it is a little trickier when you're having compassion for yourself. If what the practice I did this morning is that for whatever reason I woke up with a lot of neck pain. So there is physical pain. And so having is sort of trying to hold that physical pain in tenderness, in kindness. Anyway, there's where I get the rub of how do you do it for yourself?
Well, it's a great question. And as you say, and agree that compassion is not a suffering state, but as we practice compassion, we may not always be in the Brahmavihara of compassion. And that's just clear. We're practicing it. And so there's a spectrum. And when our focus is on the really on the difficulty, or we're really impacted by the suffering and the mind is pulled into that, again, that's not, and I don't want to, things can seem black and white, but that's not the Brahmavihara of compassion. And so the practice is, can we be with what's really difficult without the mind suffering, without being pulled into the difficulty of it? That's the practice. And so finding that way of connecting without, so I always like to use a hand gesture. Compassion is meeting the suffering and even holding it, but it's not getting entangled in it. And that being able to be with it with intimacy without being pulled down into the suffering itself, that's the beauty and even the delicacy of the true Brahmavihara of compassion. And as I said, when I practice it intensively, or even just now, I really feel this energetic. It's not like, oh, this is compassion and this is not. I have a sense of it, and then I get pulled into, often the fixing, and there's an energy that's different. And then I recognize that and I come back and I can just rest. There's more equanimity, there's more peace, there's more openness. And then I might, get pulled a little this way into, oh, this is too much. Oh, no, it's okay. So we're just moving with it, moving with it. And why we call it practice is we're exploring. The more we're familiar with when we get pulled into, as you say, it is more difficult for oneself because we're intimately impacted, especially if it's physical. There's no way that we won't notice that. But that's where the equanimity and the other Brahmaviharas are also really important. And just trusting yourself and, not to say, oh, this is not working because I'm actually suffering here. to know that we're exploring the whole terrain of compassion. And compassion does, it's so tricky to use language. It feels the suffering, but it doesn't suffer. Again, that's why Kuan Yin is so important. She feels the suffering, but her heart stays in balance. So we just explore that. Yeah, thanks, Mary. I don't see another hand up, so maybe there isn't. Oh, Barbara, did you want to speak? It's a real hand.
Yes, I couldn't figure out even though I'm with the
It's not available for co-hosts.
That's what I wondered. I couldn't do it either, so yeah.
How can I articulate this? I feel when I go into a compassion state that there's a kind of distance. Sometimes when I'm feeling compassion, I'm trying to feel it for myself, I have to visualize others. And I have to visualize myself as in others. And I think about Dana De Palmer when she talks about self-compassion and goes, oh, honey. I mean, you're feeling like there's, if you get too sucked into it, you don't have that sense of the intimacy of there's still some kind of a, I don't want to, duality there. You know, things shouldn't be dual. But there is that sense for me of the being not sucked into it outside it. And that is this sort of self and other thing that is neither self nor other. If that makes sense.
But just so I understand, Barbara, you're saying when you're doing it for yourself, you have to bring someone else in so you don't get, I didn't quite understand.
Yes, sometimes, yeah. I mean, not always, but sometimes I have to think, I mean, if I'm feeling like great anxiety, it helps me to think, oh yeah, X has great anxiety. And then I think about the refugees and their anxiety. And so I sort of have this visualization.
Okay.
That in a way makes me part of it. And yet it's not so sucked into it. It's me in my pain.
Well, I think that, you know, again, one of the things I love about the Brahmaviharas is going to say, if that works for you, great. Because what I think you're highlighting is in this sequence that we went through, the wisdom part, which is, I'm not alone in this. You know, this is what it is to be human. Not if you don't have food on the table, if you're a refugee, there's suffering in that, just like there is here. And so I don't, you know, it doesn't have to pull you out of the recognition. Compassion, as we've said, means to feel with. And so broadening it could actually be a really skillful thing to do. So again, just see what works for you in exploring the sense of compassion. And yes, Sylvia Borstein is who I think of. She always says, oh, honey, this is really hard. Oh, sweetheart. And to learn to speak to yourself with that loving tone is so skillful. So many of us, our internal voice is one of judgment and like get it together and, you know, do this properly and you know, you didn't do enough of that. And it's not helpful. But to actually talk to yourself, I think of Sylvia, but I love Dana too. You know, that grandmotherly energy or even parent energy of just, oh, honey, this is really hard, oh, sweetheart. So whatever language works, I think that's really skillful. We should just take a couple more. And just to let you know what's happening for me, our household this morning is a Dharma household. I'm doing this day long. Guy is just beginning a teaching in the living room of a class we've been doing for many weeks. And normally I'd be sitting in there. He's teaching this morning, but I'd be supporting him. And Carol Wilson is doing a weekend downstairs. She lives in an apartment. So we've got three Dharma teachings going. So you might hear some noise from outside. Especially, I might hear Guy beginning his teaching right at 11. So I do need to go in a minute to help him with his teaching this morning. So it's a busy morning. But I'll take one more. I saw Scott and Joan. I don't know which one of you has your blue hand up. Which one of you of those two was going to speak?
Hi, Sally.
Hi.
This is Joan. And I notice, my question is that there's something coming up in the near future and I'm feeling some anxiety and fear about it. And because there is an unknown, there's unknown outcomes. And, you know, there's that part of my personality that just really wants to know, you know, wants to have some control about that. So they're suffering. They're suffering around that. And it's suffering's coming from wanting to know, or, you know, being afraid of being hurt, or so there's that clinging or that craving, which is often the source of our suffering. But in my meditation, when this little practice, I did some phrasing that I often use, which is, you know, I feel this suffering, or I see this suffering or this fear, and may this suffering be held in the heart of grace and compassion. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just to, so not wanting it to go away, but can I yeah. hold it? But I felt this, like you were talking about, that the far enemy of lethargy, that kind of like, oh, it's, you know, there's nothing I can do, or this kind of
helplessness.
Yeah, this helplessness, and this kind of like, oh, I just bury my head in the ground kind of thing. So I'm not quite sure if it's just continuing with the phrasing, or just continuing with trying to open the heart, or what would be the next step there.
Yeah, well, what's interesting about all of the Brahmaviharas, and you could say this about a lot of the intentional practices, I've been, the theme of the weeks of teaching we've just been doing are, include concentration and awareness practice. Mm-hmm. They all have a similar set of guidelines, with an intentional practice, which is different from Vipassana, where we're usually open to whatever arises. With intentional practices, the first response or instruction always is, can you leave that hindrance, disturbance, difficulty in the background and continue with your intention? And now that sometimes seems counterintuitive, or I'm not dealing with it, or it's too difficult, but it's what we're doing. It's amazing the power of reaffirming the intention towards compassion. In this case, could be metta or the other Brahma, but in this case, compassion. Even when something is difficult, we are training the heart muscle of compassion. We don't trust it. We think, oh, I should attend to this, or this is really problematic, or I can't practice if this is here. But sometimes we find we actually can. And training that intention and that heart muscle of compassion, making it broad enough that that's not being rejected or pushed away, is actually, it can be very both powerful in the moment, but it is a training. So don't underestimate the power of that. So that's always the first response. The next one, and again, you don't have to do these in order, but this is sort of just generally how they're spoken of. The next one is, can you include that in your intentional practice? So again, you talked about the heaviness or the helplessness. That's suffering right there. Can you hold that with compassion? Can you broaden the practice to include and hold that? So that can also be a skillful way. And then the third way is more directed towards that difficulty. So first we held it in the background, then we included it, we kept our intention to, you know, if you were directing to yourself, but there was that. Then the third is actually do the practice for that difficulty. So really turn towards it with more intentional, oh, this is where the suffering is right now, and I'm, whatever I was doing, I'm focusing on this. That's the next. And again, these are all a spectrum, so it's not like they're black and white, completely separate. So you could actually turn to that as the suffering of the moment. And then the next step would be to actually open to it with mindfulness. This feels like this. Oh, this heaviness. Oh, I feel it in my body. We actually bring in the insight practice or the mindful practice of really naming, oh, the heaviness, this is disappointment or helplessness, and it feels like this, and you know it's nature, so we're not so much in the story of it, but the felt sense of it. So again, that's going through those options very quickly, but just so everyone has a sense, they're the basic set of skillful means that we can have with, as I said, any intentional practice. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you, so helpful. Thank you.
Okay.